Hey, this is Wesley from the Atheist Nomads podcast, and you're listening to Inciting Incident because if you don't, we'll kill the firstborn male child of every household in Rockridge. Wait, too Jewish?
People choose the news they want now, but we've
overcome
that.
People choose the facts they want now. I don't mind being dejected and rejected, but I'm not going to be ashamed about it.
I can do that.
See, Joy, that's the beauty of argument. Because if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing.
Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's bed radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, most tin cans connected with string, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escapes this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 65 of Inciting Incident. And if this sounds better to you, it's because it's meant to. I'm Al Lehman, and joining me in our brand new sort of studio that hasn't quite been done yet, but is still miles above sitting in our kitchen. Hi, Astrid. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Good. Fantastic.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we've made a major upgrade. We're still in the process of renovating this place, but we've invested a lot of your Patreon donations into what is becoming Inciting Incident Studios. It involves blankets and a kid's dresser for the moment, but we're having a drywall guy come out, and once he comes out, we'll have soundproofing material to put on the wall, and it's going to be pretty freaking phenomenal. But
it won't be super cold.
Yeah. And what'll also help with that is the space heaters we have from the last place will finally come into a useful function.
Yeah.
And I think we should get an area rug in here, too.
Agreed.
Visual jokes for the people who aren't here. It's fantastic.
It's my favorite thing. Mitch Hedberg was the best.
I like an escalator, man, because an escalator can never break. It can only become stairs. There would never be an escalator temporarily out of order sign. Only an escalator temporarily stairs. Sorry for the convenience. Every show should have a Mitch Hedberg impression on it, let's be honest.
I was hoping you would go there. I'm pleased.
Of course. Asking me to do an impression is like asking Da Vinci to invent a thing. No, I'm not going to go with that. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Want to give a shout out to WFNY, Waiting for Next Year, the most awesome Cleveland sports site, who will be having yours truly on to yak about that and other things, I'm sure. But if you haven't listened to Craig Lindell's podcast and you're like one of our three Cleveland people, I would highly recommend it. If you remember back from episode 21, I want to say, Chad Zumach, the stand-up comedian, frequent guest on the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. So, comes highly recommended. Also want to give a shout-out to our newest patron, Lizzie in the Lab. For those of you who don't know, there is a Facebook page called Lizzie the Lezzy. And the first time I tried to say that, it came out Lizzie in the Lab. So, I don't know if they're the same people, but I'm going to assume no. So
I doubt that they are, but I don't know. I assure you that our amusement is not meant in, like, a pejorative way. Like, it's a fond memory that he mixed that up because I mixed it up the first time when I read it because I was really tired and stoned. We both like that page. It's cool.
Yeah, and if you haven't picked up on it, we're pretty pro-LGBT here at Inciting Incidents. So
just a bit.
Yeah.
I get accused of, or at least I used to before I started toad policing myself, I get accused of heterophobia and cisphobia a lot.
Neither of those is a thing.
It's not, guys.
It's really not. So before we move on with some of our main topics, presuming there will be some, if we could take Lizzie the Leslie and Lizzie in the Lab and make a movie that involved more L's than any movie that ever existed in the history of mankind, what would it be about?
Okay, so I'm in this one science-y group on Facebook, and we just had a short little discussion on Pray the Gay Away stuff. So automatically, my mind jumps to, like, a more modern version of But I'm a Cheerleader. And the main character is, like, a chemistry nerd or something.
All right. And what would it be about?
A Pray the Gay Away camp where two rebellious lesbians end up falling in love and, like, running away to live in a gay commune.
Oh, my God. Tell me about this gay commune.
It's basically, like, two old gay men who used to be in the Pray the Gay Away camp. They're, like, failures or whatever. They bought a house right next to it and, like, take the kids out to the gay bars and, like, give them fake IDs and just try to, I'm using air quotes here, to show them an alternative lifestyle or an alternative to Pray the Gay Away. And they take in the kids that have nowhere else to go once they are, like, kicked out of the camp or want to run away.
All right, and who would play the old gay couple? I gotta imagine one of them's Nathan Lane.
Honestly, I'm picturing an entirely female version, just because the maximum L's.
That's fine with me.
I feel like Betty White and some other lovely lady, but I'm not sure who.
Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Betty White and Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
Starring Lizzie the Leslie and Lizzie in the Lab. And I actually had to think about it even then to say it correctly. So thank you for your donation, and your stuff will be in the mail very soon. If you haven't caught on by now, we do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/incitingincidents, where Lizzie in the Lab just became the most recent $5 patron, which means she'll get a free sticker and a free t-shirt designed by Springer Designs. Also want to take that opportunity to thank our two sponsors, Warrior of the Crystal Card Game, which is phenomenal, and you should totally check it out. Look up Dan Flanagan on Facebook. He is the person with whom I'm associated and great patron of the show. Also, Mind Aquarium, who recently did my Al Lehman t-shirt design, and will have business cards for me pretty soon. I almost feel like a goddamn professional. So Mind Aquarium, where weird is okay. So Astrid, I know you've been dying to rant, and I've been going through all the promotionals here just because in these headphones with all this new equipment,
it sounds... You had to. It had to be done.
And can I do one more thing
Absolutely.
Before I let you rant? I couldn't help but do the NPR voice, right? You know, we were doing some fun little recordings for the patrons. You should be one. And yeah, that's another advent to becoming a patron is you get early episodes and you get patron-only content. So definitely get on that. We're over 30 patrons now for the first time. So Ooh. We're moving up in the world. Only 9,700 to go to. We get to Cogdis, right?
Yeah, I mean, come join us. All my best friends are there. Come on over. Hey, Akil.
All right, so I need a topic. What would NPR be talking about right now?
The election, but I don't really want to talk about that.
Well, then can I make it completely absurd?
Yes.
Awesome.
Please do.
There we go. Hey, out there in NPR land, this is your kindly host, Al Lehman, and if you enjoy Joyce Carol Oates novels, you're going to want to stick around as we have a blind Guatemalan read it through Braille and the tears of a cis white male who was offended by our most recent show. It's 2:33 in the morning. I can see all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and green is good in more ways than one. I'll let your imagination figure that out all on its own. Stick around. Come on, that was, I was an NPR or smooth jazz DJ in a former life, I swear.
I mean, you're pretty good at most, like, impressions. I don't know if it's, like, specific to that. That's just, like, a talent you have just Aww. In general.
Well, I've been doing that longer than I've been doing most things.
Fair play.
So, a rant. I believe I was promised a rant.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to start this by saying that I am my I am myself, in fact, mentally ill. It's something that I've been struggling with for a long time. It's just sort of like my baseline now. It's really hard to manage, but I cope well enough most of the time. I don't know. I've been noticing way too many people excusing shitty behavior with mental illness. And I'm really, really tired of people using mental illness as a reason to, like, be abusive in general. You know, it's not an excuse to be abusive. It's not an excuse to be a dickhead. There are a lot of behaviors that can be explained as symptoms of mental illness. And, like, I accept that, you know? But it's not a free pass to treat somebody like shit. And I'm saying this as somebody who has some of those shitty symptoms, you know? You just gotta cope with that shit. You gotta check yourself.
All right, why don't you elaborate further? I know what you're talking about, but go into more detail. Let's talk about some of these terms you're using. You know, excusing mental illness or any of these things. Can you provide examples? And they don't necessarily have to be the one that you were dealing with.
No, I'll totally provide both examples, gladly. I'm going to talk about both in relatively vague terms, though. So I'm going to provide, like, bigger examples of the type of shit this is about, and smaller ones. A smaller example is an article about a former lesbian, now Christian, that I saw that really bothered me. And I made a comment about validation, 'cause that's not just, like, lying to yourself, but that's, like, expecting people to not only, like, be impressed by your lie and believe it. You want to inspire people to follow you to your denial. And the thing is, like, the bigger thing, Pray the Gay Away, like, that entire movement has a really firm belief that you're better off, like, killing yourself than being gay. And that's, you can't tell me that that's somehow justifiable.
Can I just say, fuck those people.
Fuck those people. Fuck that.
And the greater thing here is this is a group that also says that all people who commit suicide are going to hell. So what they're essentially saying is it's okay that this person's going to hell because they're going to hell if they don't. So it's awful hard to get the moral high ground with these people.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, I feel bad for the girl on some level, because, like, how bad do you have to hurt somebody to make them actually, like, feel that way? But I just resent her for encouraging other people to do the same thing.
Yeah, and it has worked, well, quote-unquote worked. More accurate word would probably be brainwashed, but it has worked on some level with some people, but it's still not a legit thing. What working for them is psychologically torturing people until they go along with whatever they say. It's religious waterboarding.
Honestly, I don't really think it's working so much as, like, traumatizing people to the point where they can no longer have, like, sexual attraction or intimacy with people of a certain gender. I know many, like, women specifically where that's, like, happened to them. They've gone from, like, bisexual women to experiencing sexual assault, getting PTSD, and then they're just lesbians from there on out. Because it's just, it's the wounds too deep, you know?
Yeah, and when I said it was working, I meant it was giving the appearance of working. You know me better than to think that that's what I meant.
I know. I just really wanted to clarify that for listeners because I really take deep issues with this.
As one should. I can't imagine how anyone who could listen to us would disagree. But if you're out there, I invite you to come on, and I promise we'll at least hear what you have to say before we make fun of you. So, is there another example you have? You said you were going to give two ones.
Yeah. The bigger example was like what the Pray the Gay Away does.
The
movement collectively. Because like she's not personally encouraging people to kill themselves as far as I know. Like that's not her deal. But that's part of the movement that she's involved with.
Okay, I thought that was all one example. My mistake. This shit is harmful.
Yeah.
I realize that should be obvious, but it's apparently not because it still exists.
Yeah, and then here's the thing. I made my comment about how bad do you need validation, and I ended my comment with a statement about how I personally fucking love validation and I practically live for the shit. I don't know, it's a shitty symptom, but I'm like that, and that's really hard to manage, but I do.
Yeah,
but, I don't need my validation while encouraging people to hurt themselves. Like, I don't use my need for validation to make bad things happen, you know?
And let's be clear, seeking validation can be hurting other people at the same time. And in this case, it certainly is.
Yeah, like that's what I'm getting at. Like I'm saying specifically that seeking validation doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Like you can go about it in a relatively healthy way. It's not inherently bad, but this method is. What she's doing is, that's bad. Don't do that.
No, don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. And then I make my comment, and people try to tell me about how it's like a symptom of mental illness. And I'm over here like, yeah, I know, but you don't have to be an asshole about it.
And just for the record, being gay is not an illness, in case anybody out there is still confused about that.
Yeah. Like, needing validation isn't an illness. Being gay, needing validation can sometimes be part of an illness, but you don't have to be an asshole about it.
No.
It's not an illness to be gay. Pray the Gay Away is harmful. It's bad.
And for the conservative listeners we have, that is why we got so pissed off at Chick-fil-A. And why we got pissed off at you for going to Chick-fil-A to show your support for someone who gives money to that shit. You know, I get really sick. We were talking in the last episode about the millennial myth. And one of those is they're lazy and they don't get involved in anything.
Yeah.
But then when they do get involved, then they're shit on for that too. So kind of like oppressed groups are in this country, the millennials are shit on for doing nothing and shit on for doing everything simultaneously. So there's really no way to win with some of these people. And whether or not I'm considered a millennial, I still say to all those people, go fuck yourself.
Honestly, and I really want to clarify that my qualm is not necessarily with people who work at Chick-fil-A. Like, if you're working at Chick-fil-A, I don't necessarily have a problem with you. That was a lot of my friends' first jobs, like, growing up in the Southeast, you know? Like, they didn't actively discriminate against gay people as far as my friends and I knew. But I knew that they were, like, homophobic long before most people did. And, like, by the time that the controversy was out, I was already a vegetarian, so nobody gave a shit that I didn't eat Chick-fil-A, because I hadn't eaten Chick-fil-A in years. Soda.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go on.
I don't judge people for doing what you have to do, especially since, like, if you're 18 and you've never had a job, you're fucked over, but Chick-fil-A will hire people as soon as you're legal working age, like, no problem. And, like, that's messed up, but it's really fucking helpful in today's society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really hate the organization collectively, but I have for a long time, but I see a lot of people who agree with me on how fucked up that organization is, being assholes to the people who work there, and then, like, posting videos and shit online.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
With captions like, hey, liberals, this will be the voting booth on November, whatever.
Yeah.
How'd that work out? That was 2012. I'm pretty sure Chick-fil-A didn't win the election. Just saying.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
And I still say, fuck Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And to add to your point, I've worked for some shitty companies. I know the last company I worked for also has funded things like that, so I'm not a big fan of that. That was, of course, before they were bought out by Men's Warehouse, so I saw it as a form of justice.
Yeah.
Because, God, I spent a lot of years in retail working paycheck to paycheck, and I will not resent anybody who has to do that or wants to do that, for that matter.
Yeah.
I just don't fit into that box, and it took me half my fucking life to realize it.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, my issue isn't even, like, with your job specifically. My issue is with what I feel like is not enough rights for the workers. I feel like you all deserve to be paid a livable wage. I feel like you all deserve, like, free health care. I feel like workers should have a lot more rights than they do.
You're preaching to the choir here.
I know. I just really wanted to make sure that I was clear about that, because a lot of the times I hear people who tend to agree with me with my, like, anti-capitalist, anti-corporation things being into some, like, crazy fucking woo shit.
Yeah.
I'm not about that life.
You didn't choose the woo life. The woo life chose you. And I feel like that alone is another show topic for another time.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some good woo out there, and it's ripe for comedy for a completely different reason.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked it out yet, we do have a blog accompanying the show now. And that's all going to be part of incitingincidentpodcast.com or allayman.com. Take your pick. It's the same site, but we had a fantastic web designer that now has our show's primary input point being the site itself, because I don't have to do everything now, which when it comes to technical online savvy stuff, thank God for that, because I'm happy to write, I'm happy to produce, I'm happy to do a lot of this stuff. The technical side of the interwebs, I'm not going to do that. You know, there are a lot of things as someone born in the 80s that I can do, but doing anything but writing words on a computer in terms of what goes on the internet and taking pictures and video, but I still consider that a form of producing content, it's not going to happen. In order to post on In Layman's Terms the way I do, every piece of HTML that was ever taught to me, I made sure I used so I could copy and paste from old articles and just change the things I needed to.
Amazing.
It really is. And I want to thank Andrew Torres again for recommending this website designer because, like I said, if Andrew Torres asks me to do it, I'll do it.
He's the best. I trust him.
I do too. So do you have another rant in you or shall we move on?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, go for it.
When I said that was the big thing, I was mainly just trying to cover my ass because I forgot what I was going to say. Back to people excusing mental illness. Every time there's like a mass murder by some random white kid, people are like, oh, he was depressed. He was mentally ill. Motherfucker, I've been depressed since I was a small child and I've never shot up a school, okay? Depression isn't what makes people snap and commit mass murder. Mental illnesses don't, like, force people to be abusive. Like, yeah, it does take some work to unlearn abusive behaviors, but you just got to do it, you know?
Yeah,
I'm tired of people excusing horrible things with mental illness. That's like, I don't know, that seems like saying every single man is a rapist to me.
Yeah.
Except worse, because I don't know, people don't teach consent well at all. A lot of people are rapists without even realizing that they're being rapists, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before, about how sex ed is totally fucked in this country, and I...
Oh, yeah, you know, email me.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the last episode, but it reasons to clarify that part of the reason people don't know what consent is because they're not fucking taught it, because anything other than abstinence being taught in a sex ed class in this country is absolutely verboten.
I feel the urge every time I bring this up to give an instance in which somebody has actually argued with me that it wasn't rape. So trigger warning. Rape apology or whatever. Fun fact, I've had people argue with me that it's not rape if they didn't like actually fight back. That even like despite the fact that the freeze response is a totally common response to rape, that most rape victims don't actually fight back. That it's only rape if they actually freak out.
Yeah, that's also not a thing.
That's not a thing. A lack of a no isn't even a yes, you know? If somebody's not into it, you fucking stop. If you're not sure it's not rape, don't do it.
Yeah, there's, you know, if you're not sure, stop. Or yeah. Ask.
Yeah, and I mean, asking can be so sexy. You can get it on with your partner and have so much foreplay that they're literally begging. When somebody's literally asking for it, it's pretty clear what they want.
Yeah. This is sexy. Go on.
I feel like I should charge by the minute.
We're back here on Smooth Sexy Time with Astrid. Call in with your questions and they'll be answered right away. This letter comes from Birmingham, Alabama. Yes. Dear Astrid, please continue with your story. I was almost there.
Yikes.
That wasn't me. That was the guy from Birmingham. Don't blame me for what happens in Birmingham.
The only people I know in Birmingham are like distant family members. Like I've mentioned, I'm from the Southeast mostly.
Yeah, and nobody would brag about being from Birmingham, so I don't blame you if you make up a place to get out of saying you're from Birmingham.
See, I'm not. I just have family members that live there.
Oh, I know. I just mean from that totally real writer in person I just made up. I mean, did I say made up? I meant read. You look like the blanket cornholio right now, just saying.
Bye.
Yep. And now you're one of the ringwraiths with beige instead of black. They decided to make a fashion choice. And now you're E.T. when they dressed her up as a ghost.
Fuck off.
It's you love cold. Me and you know it.
It's cold.
And we haven't got her in our studio fixed up yet with the heat.
Y'all, I've got like thigh-high socks on. Not even like stockings or anything. They're like actually like warm socks. And jeans, right? And then a long sleeve shirt underneath a sweater. And I'm wrapped up in a blanket. And I'm still cold.
Yeah, it let's put it this way. Less than a week ago, it was like 80. So it probably feels colder than it is. All the same. It's pretty damn chilly.
Yeah, I'm going to drink more tequila.
And now she's doing shots on the show. Just one of the exciting many benefits of working for It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead LLC, copyright 2016, all rights reserved, including the Astrid tequila shot and Astrid sexy time stories. Charged by the minute.
Fucking
one
right.
Patreon donation per call. If you want to hear Astrid continue that story, please press 1. If you want Astrid to insert your name into the story, please press 2. If you can't have a finger or hand free right now, please stay on the line. Part of this is I just like hearing this in a microphone.
Honestly, I'm just like currently imagining myself like selling, like swearing by like having had sex with people, just like telling people that.
Okay.
I could make that a service.
Bring a little bit more of your hair down over your eye and go on my cue. Hey, are you lonely tonight? You don't have to be. Meet Astrid Isley.
Oh my God, no.
See? When she says, oh my God, no, it really means I'm ready for you tonight.
No, but if you want me to tell your friends how amazing you were in bed, just let me know and I'll come up with a price. Yeah, it'll be cool. I can, like, send you a couple of nudes that if somebody is like, nuh-uh, you'll be like, here, see? And I won't care. You'll have my consent.
Yeah, that beats the shit out of all the other Patreon donation rewards we have.
I'll do it.
I know you will. I absolutely know you will. But she lives with me, guys. Just saying.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast, or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
This is fun. I just love that this place happened.
So, guys, I recently started smoking weed again, right? And one of our roommates is allergic to weed. So, obviously, I can't smoke in the house. And then our other roommate's girlfriend is also allergic to weed. So I can't, like, do it when she's around. So I just, like, fixed up a room.
And it turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Because now I'm hanging out with you in the room, too.
Yeah. I, a couple of people have learned to appreciate the hobby. Yeah.
I'll admit, I went from never having done it to, oh my God, I could do this every day pretty damn quickly.
You have. You've gone, like, in on it.
Yeah.
And, like, I did too when I first started. Now I just, like, get buzzed all the time, ideally. Because then I'm not anxious, my thoughts aren't racing, and my back doesn't hurt. And, yo, life could never be better.
Yeah, and it's pretty much the same here.
Medicinal weed for the win. Legalize it so it's accessible to disabled people.
Yeah, imagine that. What a concept. I think it's pretty hard to look at something and say, yeah, we've legalized it because it's medicinal, but you should still get arrested for using it. Can we just get over the reefer fucking madness already? It's legal in 4 states. How is this still a thing?
And, like, honestly, even where, like, that's not the case, where it's, like, legal for medicinal use, and as long as you stay within certain guidelines, you can have it. Like New Mexico, for example. However, the hoops that you have to, like, jump through to get medicinal weed are just straight up inaccessible. Like, insurance won't cover any doctors that will write prescriptions for weed, so you have to pay for it out of pocket. And it's, like, $200 just to, like, go see the doctor, and you have to have, like, medical records from other doctors saying that you have the illnesses you're claiming to have, just have them fill out a paper. It's bullshit. Just make it legal so that people can go pick up weed when they need it as medicine, you know?
And stop sending people of color to jail over it.
Let them go and fucking reparations, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love...
That's fucked up. White people are becoming billionaires. When I was in Washington trying to go to a dispensary, I couldn't find one that wasn't white-owned. Like, I straight up could not find a black-owned dispensary.
Do you think that has something to do with it?
Yeah, totally. This is something that white people have been tearing black families apart, ruining lives, ruining careers over for fucking, like, a really long time now.
Yeah, and then they'll turn around out of the other side of their mouth and say, well, you just didn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, and they're the, like, black kids that got, like, arrested for selling weed. Like, children are still locked up for something that's legal now, for something that people are making billions of dollars off of now. White people are making billions of dollars off.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's super fucked up.
Yeah. It couldn't become legal until white people found a way to profit off of it.
Yeah, no, I feel like black people deserve reparations.
And to not go to jail.
Yeah, definitely. Just freedom, please. And then we can work out, like, some sort of lawsuit.
What would life be? What would life be? So, I feel like I should play a little tune. What do you think?
Sure.
Let's have some guitar-try on the air, because we have a goddamn studio. So, Astrid, how you feeling?
Pretty good.
I'm feeling pretty good, too. Thank you.
But I feel like these mics are too sensitive for that.
I think you're right, although they're less sensitive than the old one, at least.
That's good.
Yeah, the old one.
That thing's annoying.
It really is. I'm still going to keep it for going on the road for interviews, though, because I can't carry all this shit somewhere.
Yeah, no.
So it still serves a purpose.
This is home base. That's still necessary, but this is home base.
Yes, this has become home base. I love that we have a thing that's considered a home base. I really do.
Same.
So what else is going on with you? I know you have an interesting Facebook feed.
What's on my Facebook feed? I just like mindlessly vague book.
Well, yeah, but I mean the people you follow that you end up inevitably getting pissed at.
Oh. I'm in a lot of groups that drive me insane. But I really like them for the most part. I'm trying to think of a good example, and I've got a couple of them, but the things that ended up being said were so outrageously offensive that I don't want to say them, because I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm not about that life.
Okay.
So I'm having a hard time thinking of a good example.
Well, think of a way to refer to it without saying it. Would that work?
No, that still seems weird.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just not about that life. I can talk about some trends I've been noticing, though. So I'm pretty good at Facebook arguments. I'm pretty witty. There's not a lot of arguments about ethics that I haven't like heard at this point, or at least ones that are like on the internet, you know. Let me see. But what was I saying though?
I really don't know. I don't remember.
How can I continue my thought if I don't know what my thought is? Shit.
Fuck.
Redo.
So how are you, Astrid?
I'm pretty good. I don't know. I didn't have my little, like, smoking kit all day due to tragic misunderstanding. No worries. But I may have, like, dived headfirst into it when I got home.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
And I'll leave that key with you.
Sounds good.
So we've got some other interesting things coming up. Probably do something special for episode 75 since we seem to do special. We did special things for 25 and 50. You know, 50 was the guest that we tried to get since episode 1. And now that he's back from Europe, he has no excuses.
Woo.
So part of this, like I said, is just us enjoying the new equipment and that yeah. could be taken the wrong way out of context.
Whatever. Yeah.
Noises.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Oh, Dustin, that guy I told you about, he's going to go to Sierra Leone soon, and he thinks that he will be a lot better at explaining what he does to us once he gets back.
All right.
So, by the way, guys, I've got this one friend named Dustin, right? And is probably going to cringe at me explaining this horribly, but he works at this organization in Canada that works to end the use of child soldiers globally.
Cool.
And they are, like, actually starting to have success with it because they've taken, like, a new approach and stuff. And it's really exciting, like, good shit, in my opinion. I have yet to figure out a single bad thing about this, personally.
And I don't think there is one.
Honestly, and, like, that's the kind of shit we need right now, IMHO, in my humble opinion, for people who hate when people use texting acronyms.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the world has changed. Most of the resistance to any change in technology or the way things are results in a bunch of people go, we don't have X anymore. You know, we don't have jobs anymore. Yeah, we do. They're just different. You know, people don't want to work retail anymore. Well, that's because retail's ending. I can't tell you how many people think I don't work.
I know.
Besides the fact that I do have a real job and I get paid for it, and despite the fact that this is a real job and I get paid for it, and despite the fact that writing a column is a job and I get paid for it, I'm writing a book and I get paid for it, I do photos and videos at weddings and I get paid for that. I don't know what your definition of a fake job is, but if the only way I can have a real job is to go back to making $7.50 an hour, selling people shit I don't want to sell, dealing with them and their rigid, regimented structure so that I can make billionaires more money, I'm good with the fake job.
Honestly, though, like, if you are performing any labor for another human that you are not just doing out of the kindness of your heart, you know, if it's not a fucking favor and you're providing manual labor for someone consistently, you deserve to be paid for that. If somebody is benefiting from your frequent just hours and hours and hours of labor, you should be able to benefit from that. And I'm not like an advocate of like charging for absolutely everything, but you don't even do that. You just have so many Patreons.
Yeah, you would be
allow people to support you if they want to.
You would be amazed how many people resent the fact that I request that for my work. It's like, I'm not even making you do it. I'm just saying, hey, it'd be nice, you know?
It's like a fucking virtual tip jar. And there are plenty of people who are against tipping, and fuck those people.
Fuck those people. I could do a whole episode on that bullshit.
Same.
Oh, we came up with a lot of new episode topics today. This will be useful.
Yeah.
But I should tell a little bit about working in retail and why I hate it, besides the fact that it's pretty much low paying and they not only force you into a corporate box physically, that meaning the store, but they force you into a corporate box mentally, physically, emotionally. And you pretty much have to sell your soul for the place, because if you have any unavailability whatsoever, you might not even be considered. And you lose the complete idea of what a weekend is. You lose the idea of what a break is, because you probably can't afford it. And even if you get a freaking lousy week of vacation pay, ooh, a whole week. Most other countries have off months. But, you know, that's not the American spirit. Well, the American spirit is fucking changing. I've seen it happen. The idea that you have to work at a place that has X amount of members or, you know, does a certain thing, it's changing. This is as legitimate as what I used to do, and I enjoy it a whole lot more. I know most people are okay with going to a thing for 8 hours and then clocking out. I'm much better when I can focus on something but also work in reading or, you know, doing a video or doing a podcast. When I have my options open and I don't have 8 hours a day where I have to wear certain things, talk to people a certain way, sell something I don't believe in, just to maybe get a few extra nickels, I'm not down with that. And I, again, I don't resent anybody who is. I just, it took me getting away from it to realize how much of my soul it destroyed. And some people say, well, that's what you got to do. You got to do. No, I actually found something that doesn't require that. And you resent the hell out of me for it. Fuck you. I don't care. You don't know how hard I had to work just to get in a place where I could. Plus, my real quote unquote job involves the stuff in my quote unquote fake job. And I get to hang out with a college football team and get paid to point a camera at it. So it has a paycheck, it has hours, and in the process, I get to be an unofficial special teams assistant for a D1 college football team. So there's that.
You know, I usually have pretty fucking unorthodox jobs. Anybody who's listening, who's listened to me for a while knows what I used to do. But I did have one job that was like almost like what most assholes would call a real job. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it was like the human labor equivalent of a pyramid scheme, right? So they like hire you with the intention of promoting you to management very, very quickly. And they've got like a business plan where it totally all makes sense. It's basically just a pyramid scheme of small franchises where you actually like interact with people in stores. So it's like an actual like in-person sales job and not like Avon ladies having parties or whatever.
Right.
They didn't like actively discriminate against disabled people, but they really only hired people with invisible illnesses. So like me, for example, and if you like had symptoms of being disabled, they just like made it clear that you would not like move up in that organization. Like they wouldn't fire you, but you wouldn't really go anywhere, which is shitty because you had to be on your feet like the entire time. You're expected to go in early and stay late. Every day when I got home, I was like limping so bad that I would like sit on the stairwell and cry for like half an hour and then go get in the bath and cry and go to bed. Like it was bad. I ended up being what I called blackout drunk on life. And mind you, like I was inside of a Sam's or a Costco all day. So, like, those will fuck with your head. You're completely isolated from the outside when you're in those places, and that sucks.
Yeah.
People are dicks to you all day.
They are. And that brings up another point about working in retail that's bullshit, and that is this idea that you're somehow not professional if you don't stand for 8-plus straight fucking hours.
Fuck you. That's cruel. That is cruel. Fuck you.
Yeah. I mean, I worked in a I don't want to say a low volume store, but I worked in a job that was slower paced and you weren't always busy with customers. And we had chairs that, you know, when there were customers, were a place for the customers to sit. But when there was nobody in there, we would sit there because we're fucking human. And Men's Warehouse solution to that was take away the chairs.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Because somehow if someone came into a suit store and one person that works there is sitting down, that just ruins everything. Especially when they stand up when you come in.
Fuck you.
Like, what is with this idea that people treat, retail workers with this thing of you can't be seen eating or sitting or being a human?
You know, honestly, I am the type of person to complain to managers and like actually like call into corporations when I see workers who clearly should be all right. And I don't like name workers in particular. I just complain that that's a problem in their stores that needs to be addressed. Like, you can't force people to work extreme hours. Like, for example, not naming any names, but there's this electronics store that's just, it's regarded as the best. And, like, during the holiday season, they make their employees work, like, 12, 14-hour shifts, like, every day. What? They don't even, like, get breaks because they're so, like, fucking crowded. That shouldn't be a thing. But they make so much goddamn money over the holidays that even if they do get sued, it's still a net gain. So they just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck you.
And here's my favorite shift that I ever had to work. Remember when opening on Thanksgiving Day became a thing?
Yeah.
Well, our company decided to get in on that. Oh. And guess who got to work Thursday?
I'm sorry.
But here was the worst thing about it. So they decided to open for 4 hours, close for 4 hours, and then open back up early.
Oh, my God, no.
I worked from 10 p.m. Thursday night to 2 a.m. Sunday morning and was supposed to come in at 6.
Fuck that. No.
So I just decided to stay there, which should never have to be a thing.
It should not. And honestly, that creates what I call blackout drunk on life. But real sociologists call it job burnout.
So once I got back at, okay, first of all, I couldn't sleep because there was no place to sleep in a goddamn store. So we opened back up at 6, and I still had to work till 1 p.m. So I had to work from 10 p.m. to 1 p.m. And everybody's just like, oh, but you're making extra money. Yeah, and that was totally worth it.
No, no, that's so harmful. That's so bad for you. Don't do that. No money is worth that. Honestly, no.
I feel like there's another episode. Yeah, just retail bullshit. Let's make an episode called Retail Sucks.
Oh my gosh, can I have my epileptic friend on? I can try.
Okay.
I didn't name her company or anything.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Yeah. We'll call it Carlco.
Yeah.
So I worked for Carlco. Fuck you, Carlco.
Fuck you, Carlco. Me and my friend have like 2 seizures in 2 days. Eat a dick.
Yeah. So I think we're going to wrap up there. This has been our first episode with new equipment. And I think it sounds great. At least it sounds great in the headphones.
I'm so excited to listen to it.
And I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. And I think I like it.
We do this all day, guys.
Yeah, we really do. When I'm not in school or working one of those 7 jobs, we sit here and solve the world's problems. Now yeah. We just record it.
Yeah.
So that's been the 65th episode, the first in the new studio. We'll be back next week, or if you're a patron, sooner. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
preceding podcast is owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobster Head LLC. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. The music is done by Elizabeth Drinks and was used with permission and was mixed together by Alexander Goodliffe. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. For media or inquiries, please contact PA Torres at patorres.com.